Here on FM, BBC Radio 4's Book of the Week, Damien Barr continues with his memoir, Maggie and Me. Now living in a small house shared with his mum, sister, uncle and cousins, Damien's home life is increasingly chaotic. At the height of the AIDS epidemic and terrified by the idea of this illness, 11-year-old Damien is becoming aware that he is gay.
I catch AIDS in 1987. I'm not sure exactly how, but I've definitely caught it, so I'm definitely going to die. Horribly and soon. I'm 11. The advert that's been going around the playground finally comes on the telly. There is now a danger that has become a threat to us all, begins a plummy English voice that I vaguely know from something else. It is a deadly disease and there is no known cure. A workman's hands chisel a word out of black stone. Anyone can get it, man or woman. So far it has been confined to small groups, but it's spreading. I am in that small group. I know I am. So I must have it already. I look at the cream rug I'm sitting on and see the AIDS spreading out from me like a stain. So don't die of ignorance. The epitaph is complete. AIDS. But I see my name on the tombstone as it falls towards the grave. I remember where I'd heard the man's voice before, on the telly. He was that old English poof, the naked civil servant. How could he be so proud of what he was? Did he not know he was going straight to hell? The government leaflet arrives the next morning, along with the usual final demands. I am waiting by the letterbox. 15 Rannoch Avenue is bad enough. The least I can do is to stop AIDS coming into our house. It's probably already too late for me, but maybe I can spare the others, stop them catching it. Already I take my toothbrush to bed to stop anybody else using it by accident. I stuff the leaflet in my school bag, sling it over my shoulder and run out the door to the black steel gates of Kerhardie Memorial Primary School. As always, my best friend Mark is easy to find. He's showing off at Elastics with the girls. He's the only boy that plays this girls' game. He wins and runs over to me. I spot an identical leaflet sticking out of his pocket. "We've got it," I hiss, as if this will stop us getting it. "What'll we do?" "Die," he says, laughing and skipping away. "It's not funny," I shout, running after him, careful to pocket the evidence. "I don't want to die." Mark pulls me close in a way that would look like a headlock to anybody walking around the corner. "Listen," he says, trying to calm me down. "If we've got it, we've got it. And the leaflet says there's nothing we can do. But it says here it only affects adults. We're not adults yet." "Well, you're not." Weeks become months, and suddenly we're in our last term at Kerhardie. I'm top of my class most years, and when it's not me, it's Brian Southlands, because he's better at maths, and some years are more mathsy than others. We're all competing for the Ducks Medal. "Ducks comes from the Latin noun for leader," explains Mr. Baker. "The medal has my name on it, as surely as the Superstars PE Cup has Mark's." I come top of all the spelling and reading and writing tests. Brian is second or even third. Then, it's maths. I never got the hang of decimals after missing that first day, and I'm supposed to be practising. But instead of doing maths, me and Mark master the mambo. As soon as Dirty Dancing comes out, we swoon for Swayze, the attitude, the hair, the hips. Yes, I swear. It's a truth. Mark and I take turns getting the video out of the shop, saying it's for my sister. Pause, rewind, play. Pause, rewind, play. We bicker over who gets to be Johnny and who gets to be Baby and decide to take turns. Somehow along the way, we accept we are, well, completely gay. We've both been called poof enough to get the message. So it's not surprising I still don't get the point of decimals. If only they tested us on the mambo. Mark is crowned the superstar of Primary 7 1987 at a full assembly with the whole school crammed into the gym. As the ducks is announced, I start to stand up, and Brian Southlands does too. It's a mistake, surely. A joke, maybe? Brian walks forward to receive his medal, like Luke Skywalker at the end of Star Wars. It should be me. What have I got if I haven't got brains? Miss Carey, the headmistress, pronounces Damien Leighton Barr as proxime accessit, Latin for he came nearest. Mr. Baker produces a Polaroid camera. Flash! He captures my failure forever. Mark with his Superstars Cup, Brian with his Ducks medal, and me standing between them because I'm the tallest and blinking back tears. Mr. Baker hands me the photo with my runner-up certificate. The bell rings and the day is over. The term is over. Keir Hardie Memorial Primary School is over. I walk back to 15 Rannoch Avenue with the Polaroid creasing in my hand. I tell myself it doesn't matter because the AIDS will kill me soon anyway. For our first day at Rannoch High School, me and Mark spike our hair identically using half the world's supply of electric blue wet look gel. At the bottom of his street, we join a dark blue shoal of boys and girls all on their way to their first day. Everybody looks nervous. The foyer echoes with 100 overexcited voices. I spot a teacher coming. Settle down, first years, she shouts. She looks younger than the teachers at Keir Hardie, way too cool. I'm Miss Campbell, she announces, smiling. Welcome to Rannoch High School. Now, I'm going to read out a list of names. If you hear your name, that means you're in Gibson House, my house. If you don't hear your name, that means you're in Anderson House with Mr. Gallagher. She starts reading and soon gets to B for Barr. I'm in her class. Then C, D and E for Ellison. But nothing. She's on F for Farrell, G for Graham. Mark squirms. I panic. My best friend's not in my class. I can't do this without him. We've got to stick together. Separation is not in our plan. Miss Campbell puts her hand on my shoulder. Did you not hear? What's your name, son? Damien Leighton Barr, miss. Well, come with me, Damien. You're in my class. And she leads me away from Mark. The rest of the morning flies by as we fiddle with highlighter pens and work out where the different classrooms are on the map. At the end of class, four or five of us are kept back. We don't know why until a list is produced from a drawer. Special assistance, free school dinners. I feel myself blush, but my stomach growls gratefully. I find Mark and we queue up with our aeroplane-style trays and I get a baked potato with beans and grated cheese and a battered sausage. Baked potatoes are future food, something they'd eat in London. I've never had one. At the till, I hand over my card and the dinner lady folds Monday neatly and rips it off. Tink, mutters one girl. An older boy turns out his empty pockets and pretends to cry. My face feels hotter than my lunch. At 3:30 p.m, Mark and I meet outside as planned. Turns out his class isn't much better than mine. Remedials, Mark says. By the way, everybody knows you're bent. They don't. I'm not. You are. I'm not. Anyway, so are you. No way, he says. Not like you. Not like me, how? I'm going, says Mark. I put my hand out to stop him and he shakes it off. Get off me. Grow up. Mark isn't there to walk with me to school next day. He's on the other side of the foyer when I come in and turns his back when he sees me. After a week, it's like he's forgotten me. Monday morning, and I head to Mark's house, but he's gone on ahead again. I can't believe it. That lunchtime, I finally find him, and we agree to meet at the chippy. When no one's looking, he gives me a chip, and we walk and talk, and it's all okay again. Coming towards us are two girls I know from my class, Sharon Johnson and Heather Drummond. Mark is drinking a strawberry milkshake. Let's do a carry, he says. It's one of our favourite books and we love the film too. If I do this, things will be back to how they were. He hands me the cup. I walk towards the girls who look wary before they realise it's only that gay Damien Barr and he won't do anything. And in that second, I decide to prove them wrong. Direct hit. Pink milk runs down bare legs, staining white socks. Periods, Mark shouts. Yous have got your periods. Sharon stands there dripping and bawling. Heather runs at me and kicks me really hard, right in the shin. I turn to Mark and he joins some boys from his class. They're all pointing and laughing at Heather and Sharon and me. Sorry, I shout, my voice trailing off, not quite wanting the boys to hear. After a week of my saying sorry every time I see her, Heather finally shrugs. That Mark Ellison's a dick, she says, and I'm shocked to hear this girl with the Alice band swear. He's not, She looks at me, assessing my loyalty. Well, he is a bit. I don't know exactly how we become boyfriend and girlfriend, but that's what everybody says about us, so that's what we become. They make smoochy noises at us and dare us to kiss, and sometimes we do. Heather is a good person and good for me, I think. Maybe she can help me change. Heather's parents both work. Nobody works at my house. Her bungalow is at the top of Newt Hill, and it's the only bought house I've ever been in. It has a red monoblock driveway and room for several cars. It's a palace. She lets us in with her own key. We watch Neighbours, and Ramsay Street is just fading when her mum sighs through the door straight off the train from Glasgow, where she programs computers in a bank. Hello, she says, and Heather gives me a look. She's warned me. Her mum is English. Is your friend staying for dinner? Heather nods. I was never this welcome at Mark's house. I introduce myself to Mrs. Drummond. Call me Mrs. D, she says. We follow her through to the scullery, which they call a kitchen, where a dish of garlic chicken is produced. I thought garlic only came on bread, and then only on telly. Mrs. D sets an extra place. Dinner is eaten quietly around an actual dining table. It's all so amazingly normal. Nobody shouts or lifts a hand. Bang on 9 p.m, Mrs. D sits me in the front of their G-Reg blue Vauxhall Cavalier. I buckle up and she smiles and we drive the 5 minutes down from the top of Newark Hill. As we reach the top of Rannoch Avenue, I panic. Just here, drop me just here and it'll save you turning. She brakes, saying that's considerate. I get out and wave her away, and when she's turned the corner, I walk down the road, and, sure enough, music is blaring out the front door. My mum's boyfriend, Dodger, is punching some random guy in our front garden. As I get closer, I realise it's not a man, it's a woman. It's my mum. And I'm running, 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 but before I get to her, she's up on her feet with a bucky bottle in one hand. And while Dodger's looking at me, she smashes it round his head and he goes down, right down. She smiles at me and waves, but I ignore her as I walk in our front door with my school bag over my shoulder.
Damien Barr was reading from his memoir Maggie and Me. It was abridged by Shan Preece and produced by Allegra McElroy. And you can catch up with previous episodes of Maggie and Me by going to the programme page on the Radio 4 website.
The aim of Shared Planet is both extremely simple and very ambitious.
In a new series, Monty Don explores a thorny issue.
We want to start the dialogue of how we address this problem. The increasing human population is having a profound effect on almost every other single species on this Earth, and very often a completely disastrous effect.
Shared Planet on BBC Radio 4.
Unless we read the effects on wildlife, we will directly suffer.
Next Tuesday morning at 11.